I just wanted to share again what I felt like the Lord would have me to share from the scripture, Mark chapter number 16. And you think, well, Pastor, you just preached on this a few days ago. Well, maybe so. Maybe so. But I wanted to share a few more things about this that maybe I didn't get into even then that I wanted to share with you and simply talk about the resurrection and exploring the resurrection, if you will. So if you would, just stretch your hand this way and pray for me as we share the Word of God this evening. Father, we come before you tonight. We come before you thanking you, Jesus, for your blessings upon us. Thank you, Father God, for this time, O God, that you've allowed us to come here tonight. Allow the Spirit of God to move upon us. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to our heart. Father, we know, God, today that this text is being read over and over again. But yet, I know, God, tonight that you have all control. And I know, God, tonight that you, Lord God, are in control of this whole situation. Father, I love you and I honor you and I praise you. I pray, God, that you just touch us this evening. Help us, Father God, for that to minister the word of the Lord as you've laid it in my heart. God, I pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Book of Mark, chapter number 16. And this is just really what I felt like I wanted to do this evening. And some things in here you've read over and over and over again. And I pray that something will speak to your heart this evening. And I think the reason that I wanted to do this message this evening, I know it was what God laid up on my heart, but more than anything, I don't want to ever get away from the resurrection. Do you know without the resurrection, we serve just no more than just another dead religion? Hello? It's just another dead religion. But because of the resurrection and because of what Jesus did, you and I today, we have hope beyond where we're at right now. So we look at the scripture in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come to anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were affrighted. Verse 6, and he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. We seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that they goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. And he said, as he said unto you." But they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Verse 9 says, and when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. Verse 12 says, after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. So when we look at this, there's several things that I begin to think about. And when I began to look at this morning early when I was reading it, several things again begins to surface in my own heart this evening. And again, we've already looked at the Easter services, and I didn't want to be just so redundant and repetitive over this again. But one of the places I was reading, it said it like this. It said, the resurrection proves that though it be looked like Jesus died on the cross, he looked as if he was no more than a common criminal. He actually died as a sinless man out of love and self-sacrifice to bear the guilt of our sin. And the Bible reminds us that he who knew no sin became sin for us. The death of Jesus on the cross was the payment. It was the earnest, if you will, for what you and I are experiencing today. But again, when we think of it, the resurrection, we think about the death of the cross was the payment. But yet the resurrection was the receipt showing that the payment had actually was paid in full in the sight of the Father. When we think about what happened there on this particular day, several things begins to surface. First of all, we wanted just to explore the resurrection. And again, look at this in a fresh light of why you and I have hope in the resurrection today. We think about the prophecy that was mentioned throughout the scripture. Even when you look in Mark chapter 15, we see where that it was the day of the preparation. We see that where Joseph of Arimathea came and they took the body of Jesus and they craved the body. The Bible said they craved the body of Jesus. They wanted to take Jesus' body and give Jesus' body a decent burial. And several things about this gives us proof today that prophetically, and you know this scripture, I'm aware that you know the scripture, that it gives you and I the proof scripturally, the scripture from the scripture of what Joseph of Arimathea actually experienced on that day. First of all, when we think about this, we look here in the scripture in Mark chapter number 15, you look in verse 42. And now when it was evening was come, because of it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, which was Friday, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which had waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now look at this. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. That right there, when I was reading that this morning, it got my attention. It's because Pilate marveled that Jesus was already dead. When we think about that, it said, and calling unto him, the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it was the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him into sepulcher, which was hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. Now, verse 47, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. I begin to think about this today. I begin to think about the simple fact that now you and I, we look back at the resurrection. We look back at the resurrection and we can actually celebrate the simple fact that the scripture recorded everything that was recorded here, and it gives you and I that hope in the resurrection. But could you imagine in your mind for just a few minutes, everything that is happening in this arena at this time? Jesus already crucified on the cross, how that the veil was rent in twain, how the sky was darkened, and there was a voice out of the heavens, this is my beloved Son. All of these things took place there at that time. And watch this, all the people around them heard this being done and seen this being done, and everything that would happen after that forward depended upon one thing. It depended upon Jesus going into the tomb and all these witnesses that was there, whether it was Joseph of Arimathea, whether it was Mary Magdalene, whether it was Mary the mother of Joseph, whether it was whoever it might have been, the centurion, whoever all these people were, whether it was Pilate, whether it was Herod, they knew without shadow of a doubt, because of the witness of the people, that Jesus was already dead. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus died. Jesus died. And the Bible said that He died that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. So when we survey the resurrection this evening, the first thing outside the crucifixion, we understand the simple fact that many witnesses said that Jesus Christ died there that day. Number two is that they begin to bring spices. You can see this again in the scripture that I read to you in Mark 16 and 1. And it said that they had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. One person may think that they was there to try to speed up the mummification. But according to commentary, that's not really what it was for. It was simply because they in their mind, they in their heart, they already knew that just like Lazarus that was in the tomb, it wouldn't be many days until Jesus again would be smelling and stinking and etc. and so forth. So they came there that day to simply anoint Jesus' body so that you think about the decomposition of what was happening that day. And I thought about this. You do not anoint, you don't bring the spices to a person that was alive. They knew that Jesus was already dead. So they brought it there that day. And it was another witness to them that Jesus had actually died on the cross. You know, I was thinking today, I was sitting on the couch, I was writing all my notes, and I was reading, and all this was coming together. And I thought about this, and I didn't write it down, but I just thought about it again. It is still behooves me. It still just absolutely, I cannot even wrap my mind around the simple fact that we have all this historical witness, we have all this evidence, biblical evidence, that Jesus actually lived and died and rose again, and He's alive forevermore. But yet people today, they still won't trust Jesus. They still won't trust Him. Even, and I don't know if I'll get back to it, but even in the day that they had heard the witness and the testimony of all of those, the women that went there that day. I can even show you even in Matthew 28. Matthew 28 uses the words, Mark is the same thing as Matthew. It said that many of those disciples followed Him no more because of their unbelief. It just behooves me. It just blows my mind, if you will, of the simple fact that even in Jesus' day, even though they walked with Him, Shelba, even though they talked with Him, even though they saw Him crucified, even though they saw Him beat, even though they saw Him battered, even though they saw Him taken from the grave, even though they saw Him, they saw Him put in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, they had all these people that actually seen the dead body of Jesus there from the cross to the tomb. But yet today, you and I, we look at it from 2022. We look back at the cross today. And I don't mean to be an ugly preacher tonight, but I tell you what, friend, it is a shame and an embarrassment to heaven that more people don't believe in the old rugged cross. I was in a meeting on Monday, and we was talking about prayer and having a prayer rally and a lot of stuff that I don't have time to get into. And one of the questions that was asked there that day, as I was sitting there by a certain individual, he said, is it going to take bombs falling on the United States of America to get America's attention? Of course, I don't have the answer to that, but I would say this, that it is a shame and an embarrassment to heaven that more people today, even in America and even here in our land today, where we're arguing and fighting in Congress over aborting little bitty babies and screaming it's a woman's right. I don't even want to get into all of that. But yet in the same regard, it is a shame that today that there's witnesses of the resurrection. Now I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I certainly got to do it again here in just a few minutes. Here these ladies was, these women, they were there, and they say, how in the world, I don't know, they might have been just small women. I don't know how big they was. I have no idea. I don't know if they had muscles or no muscles, but no doubt in my mind, Brother West, this stone was really big. They were wanting to get in the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. The commentary said it like this, that that stone was rolled away, not so much for them to get in there to see the body of Jesus, to anoint the body of Jesus, but the simple fact to let everybody know that it was not a human being that rolled that stone away. But it was God Himself that allowed the stone to be rolled away. Not that they had to roll it away to see where Jesus was, but to roll that stone away to see the grave clothes where they was laid, and to know that He had risen as He simply said He would do. I don't know about you today, but we, my friend, and this is just me and how I feel, we don't put enough emphasis on the resurrection. We don't put enough emphasis on the simple fact that Jesus did exactly what Jesus said He would do. How are we to roll the stone away? They wanted to roll away the stone to see where Jesus was, and they would had to really work for it to get to Him. That is another thought that I had today as I was writing notes. They had to really, really work in their mind, first of all, how are we going to get to where Jesus is? You know, and I know that it would have not, no doubt in my mind, been a hard job, a hard task to try to roll the stone away. One of the things I thought about is no matter what they would have had to have done on that occasion, that they were willing to work for it in order that they could see Jesus. Amen. And a lot of times today we think about how lazy people are today, how inconsistent people are today, and how people today, they won't even show up at God's house to see Jesus. My friend, they want everything just Johnny on the spot. They want it now. I heard Jensen Franklin say this years ago. He said, hey, we live in a microwave generation, and we serve a crock pot God. Amen. Sometimes it's going to take a while. What are you and I willing to do in order that we might see Jesus? Amen. Somebody might say, well, it happened that way years ago, and old time ways are gone, and we don't have to do that no more. We don't have to tarry till the glory comes down. We don't have to pray no more. We don't have to seek no more. All of that was for those way back yonder and way back in the day. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. This is my opinion, and my opinion alone. I believe when you desire something, no matter what you have to do to get to it, the lady that lost the coin, the one that lost the sheep, the son that was lost, the father, no matter what they done, they were willing to do what they had to do to get and to find that coin, or to find that sheep, or that father had to find that son. I think about that when I think about finding Jesus today. They went, they in search of Jesus, and they looked at the tomb, and when they got there, my friend, the Bible lets us know that they came very early in the morning. And the Bible says in verses 3 and 4, it says, and they said unto themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Verse 4 says, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was great. Now, if I wanted to be an evangelist tonight, and if I wanted to preach like an evangelist tonight, I would say something like this. I don't know what obstacle you are facing. I don't know what you're going through, but yet you've got to be able to get through where you're at in order to see Jesus. Amen. In other words, the miracle is in the process. The miracle is in the making even right now. They didn't know how they were going to go see Jesus, but they were willing to go and do whatever they had to do to get to where Jesus was. Oh, my friend, what would it be in the church today if we had a brand new mentality? I don't know what I'm going to have to go through when I get there, but there's one thing about it. I'm going to push until I see my Lord. I'm going to push my way through. I'm going to get a hunger and a thirst after God again. And my friend, when they went there, something very amazing happened. In other words, when you go after God and you do your part, guess what? God will do His part. And all of a sudden, what you did not expect shows up, and God will see you through. I believe that tonight. If you believe it, say amen in the house. Amen. I think about this. It says again, They came wondering how. I don't know, I just have to preach stuff the way I feel it when I study it and I write things out for me to remember. They came wondering how. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you're wondering how. How's it all going to come about? How's my loved ones going to be saved? How's my children going to be saved? How's financially is it going to turn around? How is my health going to get better? I thought about this as I moved throughout my day today, going different places and doing different things. That in the atonement, my friend, we may not ever see our healing on this side, but thank God with His stripes we are healed. And in that perfect atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ, I promise you, according to the Word of God, one of these days, as that song says, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. You may have aches and pains and worries and frets, and you say, how's it all going to happen? It just simply says again, this shows that the resurrection accounts cannot be the product of just them wonderfully hoping that it would turn out the way that they wanted it to turn out. Again, did anyone at that time really expect Jesus to rise from the dead? You know, again, you and I today, we're talking about 2,000 plus years removed from the resurrection. And somebody says, you're still preaching that same old thing. You're still talking about the blood. You're still talking about the cross. You're still talking about a historical event that happened way back when. Generation after generation and thousands upon millions of people have died. And you got this little promise in the back of your head and you believe that this person said that he's coming back again. And my friend in the church today, that is our hope. That is our hope and that is our belief. That the resurrection again promised us, as Jesus said, that I go away, I will come again. Amen. We're going to keep our eyes looking where Jesus said, as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, if you will, as the lightning comes from the east and sets in the west, hey, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's why we look toward the east, because the Bible said that's the direction that He's coming in. You ever looked at a sunrise coming up and thought to yourself one of these mornings, hallelujah, that's where Jesus is going to come. He's going to come again. See, that is our hope today. Many, again, we think about the resurrection. We think about the event that was going on at that time. And we think about those that, did they really expect Jesus to rise from the dead? When you look in the Scripture, we see this again in the book of Matthew. When Pilate sent the guards to the tomb and told them to guard the tomb lest they come and he was still there. They sealed up the tomb. They put the ring signet up on the tomb and they sealed the tomb and they set the guards about the tomb. And you see this in Matthew chapter number 27, verses 65. And Pilate said to them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as we can, as you can. In other words, make that watch sure. Make sure that no insurgent comes and steals away the body of Jesus. And then make sure that you have sealed that tomb so that nobody can lie and say that this imposture, if you will, rose from the grave. I love it when I see stuff like this in the Scripture. And it says, and so they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And they were there and they were setting upon the watch. And the guards was there and all of those that was there. Commentary went and said this. He said, it reminds us that there was guards all around the tomb. And this is again a look at the events that happened there that day. And it said that all this could not have been done by the women who came up there this day. The guards was there. All that was going on there that day. or even as much as by the disciples that was there, because the disciples, no matter how strong they may have been, the disciples could not have even overtaken the guards. It had to be the angel of God that came down and rolled that stone away. Heaven had to come down to earth. It had to be God the Father that did this. And the Bible says, and again in Matthew 28 and 2, and it said, "Behold, there was a great earthquake. God's power showed up, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Hey, I believe this, and again, it's just me and my little way of thinking, that God sent the earthquake, rolled the stone back. The power of the angel of God came, and he sat down upon the tomb awaiting those that came around. And again, this is me. This is my little old finite mind. And I think the angel was there, and this is not what the Bible said, but this is what I'm saying. How you like me now? How you like me now when they can't? Look what just happened. Now, I don't know about you, but that's exciting to us this evening, because this event assures us that our faith is in the right place. It assures us of the confidence of even what Jesus said when Jesus went into the tomb. He said, "Go ahead." He said, "No man taketh my life. I lay my life down. I lay my life down, and I know how to take it up again." So we see here again that the angel even witnessed, I said this a few weeks ago, that the angel even witnessed to what happened there on that day. And as much as God did it then, God is going to do it now. And somebody says, "Brother Terry," somebody says, "I don't believe in all that rapture stuff. I don't believe in all this second coming stuff. I don't believe in all this Armageddon stuff. I don't believe in a millennial reign. I don't believe in this 1,000-year millennial reign. I don't believe in this 3.5-year tribulation and the 3.5 years of great tribulation. I just don't believe in all that. I don't see how it can happen. I don't believe that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called. I just can't put my mind around all of that." But you got to understand, friend, this is the supernatural. This is not in the natural. This is God taking control of the natural. I heard another guy say one time, and he said, "Hey, God is in charge, and God is supernatural." What does that mean? I mean, when the super touches the natural, you got the supernatural. Amen? Amen. How many of you believe in the resurrection? I do. And the resurrection gives us all hope. And the angel that was there that day let us know that God is the one that did it. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, looking forward into the future. Even your salvation this evening, friend, depends upon you believing in the resurrection. Somebody says, "Well, we're all saved tonight, and we're all saints, and we've got our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I couldn't miss heaven now if I even wanted to." I wouldn't be so quick to judge that right there, my friend, because I believe that those that are going to heaven, I believe they're looking soon for His appearing. I believe we're keeping our eyes cast upon Him. I believe we're living right. I believe we're ready, because the Bible says in Thessalonians that Jesus is coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He's coming as a thief, and we've got to know without a shadow of a doubt what we believe in. I believe in the resurrection. The stone, again, was not rolled away. I said this earlier, to let Jesus out, but the stone was rolled away to let all of those that was there be persuaded that Jesus Christ had risen and He had rose from the dead here in 2022. I believe if there's anything we need to do to reiterate the simple fact that we believe in the resurrection. Now let me get into the meat of this thing in the next 7 or 8 minutes. So what does all this mean to you and I this evening? What does all this resurrection stuff mean to you and I this evening? Again, when the Bible says it's the angel of the Lord here in the book of Mark in our text, the angel of the Lord said this. Verse number 6, it says, "And He saith unto them, Be not scared." Don't be affrighted. Don't be afraid. He said, you seek Jesus of Nazareth. The angel knew that. The angel that was there in the long white garment knew why they were there. That's amazing. You seek Jesus. And it said again that they were afraid. And you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is risen. Everything you and I believe today as Christians rest upon that statement. Because there was many, even in those days, even in Jesus' days, were resuscitated. When you go back and you look at the widow's son, over in Elijah's day, he threw himself across him and he breathed upon him and he lived. And you look at the ones that Jesus, the widow's son of Nain, Jesus touched the bier of the coffin and the young man rose up. You see that there was those that Jesus said of the little young damsel, Jesus went and said, Talitha kumi. And he said, daughter, I say unto thee, arise. You look at all of these, Lazarus, come forth. All of these were resuscitated. They all came out of that grave simply to die again at some point. But praise God this evening when they went to the tomb of Jesus. I'm telling you, he was resurrected and the angel came and said, hey, he was not just resuscitated, but the Bible said he is alive and he is alive forevermore. Brother Larry, I'm not just looking for a resuscitated Jesus. I'm looking for a resurrected Jesus. You can read that over in the book of Revelation. I got it written down up there, Revelation 1 down along through there. And the Bible says there in the book of Revelation, I am he that was dead, and yet I am alive forevermore. Praise God for the resurrection today. It is our hope, it is our anthem, and everything that you and I believe in today is based upon the simple fact of the resurrection. So you and I today, the resurrection just simply means this. It just simply means that you... First of all, it just simply means that Jesus' word was true. And it says in Romans 1 and 4, and he says this in the word in Romans 1 and 4, of how that this means the resurrection is true. And he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Thank you, Kathy, because I didn't write that one out. According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Thank God. Amen. Declaring to be the Son of God. Declared to be the Son of God. Jesus is not a figment of our imagination. He is more than just a byword in our homes today. But the Bible declares that as Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John, where there was a voice out of the heaven declared, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The second thing, and I've already got into this a little bit, the resurrection just simply means that the true church will have a resurrection morning. I don't know when that will be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 14 just reminds us of that. I just mentioned that a few minutes ago. But you and I, my friend, we will have a resurrection morning. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, hallelujah, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You say, does it matter how long they've been in the grave? Does it matter if they are lost at sea? Somebody says, I don't understand how this is going to work. Honey, I don't understand it all either. But somehow, after a while, this spirit that has already gone back to God is going to come back and it's going to reunite with that body. And out of the grave, that body is going to come to live with him forevermore. And it boils right back down to the simple fact that no matter, I'm sorry, Sandra, I have to do this. If it's a Larry Neely, if you will, or a Brother Jones, or a Margaret Cain, or whoever it will be, honey, let me tell you, we don't have to worry no more, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one of these great getting up mornings when the glory of God and the trump of the Lord shall sound, hallelujah, the resurrection guaranteed you and I a free ride to glory. Hallelujah. And you and I are going one of these days. You say, what about the Gnostics? What about the agnostics? What about the atheists? I'm going to tell you something, friend. They were present even in Jesus' day, and they'll be present when Jesus comes again. And I'm not going to get tied up, tangled up, washed out with everybody that don't believe, because I know in whom I have put my trust. I know in whom I have believed. I'm not looking for an airplane ride. I'm looking for a plain air ride. And Jesus is coming again. And those that are ready to go will go and meet Him in the air. So I give the Lord a praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus just simply means that the ministry of Jesus continues on this day. You ever thought about that? That the ministry of Jesus continues on this day. When Jesus went to glory, Jesus told them, if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. But as soon as I go, it's expedient to you that I go away. It's necessary. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go not away, then the Comforter can't come. But he says in Acts 1 and 8, he says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But just as soon as Jesus received his seat on the right-hand side of the Father, his ministry continues even today. I'm not an orphan. You're not an orphan. Hello? God's not forgot you. You might feel like you're forgotten. You might feel like you're forsaken. Hey, can I promise you this? He's not forgotten you. We're going to go through some times in our lives we don't understand everything. I'm sure there's a lot of people that you know and I know right now that's going through things they don't understand. But I'm glad to know this. I don't know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow about this time. I have no idea. But you know what? I know the one that holds tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it. Years ago, I heard Danny May say this at camp meeting, and I never forgot it. I was a young guy. You know, when you're young, you worry about everything. Somebody says, when you're old, you worry about everything. Well, that's okay. If that's you, that's fine. Some people might disagree with that. Some people might say that worry is a sin. I don't know if it is or not. I can't really see that in the Bible, per se. I mean, I know it's opposite of faith and fear and all that. We can get into all that kind of stuff later. But Danny May made this statement. He said, you don't have to worry about the way being cleared if you know the one that clears the way. You don't have to worry about it. So this next scripture, in a simple fact, that the resurrection means that Jesus is continuing his ministry from heaven. The resurrection is his promise. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 actually teaches us that. And I love this verse of scripture because of what it says, especially in the latter part of it. Hebrews 7 and 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever That's what I thought it said. Liveth. Liveth. He's alive. We have a risen Savior. He's alive tonight. I remember preaching in the Church of God years ago. They'd shout you down for preaching like I preach tonight. Camp meeting style. Where's our hope today? Where's our hope? Is it in New York on Wall Street? Is it over on Pennsylvania Avenue? Huh? Where's your hope? You got money in a bank somewhere that you're trusting in? It's okay to have money. It's a necessity of life. You got to have it. What are you putting your trust in? I'm putting mine in the resurrection. The resurrection also means that Christianity and God are unique and completely different among all the other religions of the world. All the other religions of the world are trying to get the attention of their God. Even in, what was it, Elijah? They were cutting themselves, and he went back and said, is your God on vacation? Where's he at? Is he asleep? Where's he at? Cut themselves, and he come back around. Elijah come back around. He poured 13 barrels of water on the altar, and he said the 63-word prayer, I think it was, or something. He said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And God came down, and he licked up all the barrels and all the water and everything that was there, and the rest of the story was they took them and slew them. God's alive. He's alive right now. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. Not just think about it and pass it on, but let's think about it. I mean, the God that is the God of this universe. I've seen a sign on the church, and if you know where this at, I don't mean nothing by it. I know it was good intentions, but Sherry and I both seen it, and we disagreed with it. And don't even tell me if you know where this is at, because I'm not going to tell you where it's at. But it said the other day on the church sign close by, and it said, God cannot be everywhere, so he made mothers. Now, I understand the concept, but God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at all times. God blessed us with mothers because everybody don't know God. I understand. But I seen that sign and I thought, well, that's not really a true statement theologically anyway. God can't be everywhere, so he made mothers. Well, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. And he's in this place tonight. Now, I want to provoke your thinking a little bit more. And I know I'm stepping off the platform here in a few minutes for 2 weeks. Brother Cain's worried about me coming back. I'll be here, Brother Cain. I ain't running from nothing or for nothing. I'll be right back in a few days. I ain't looking for nothing. I ain't looking for another church. I'm not interested in another church. I ain't interested in nothing like that. I am focused. God touched my heart over at that fellowship hall about 12 years ago. And God told me where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I feel really good about that even tonight. But I want us to think about something going forward from this church. If we boast and we brag about this resurrection of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. It ain't got nothing to do with the music. It ain't got nothing to do with the praise team. It ain't got nothing to do with the preacher. It ain't got nothing to do with anything. But this one thing. If we confess that God, well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And then Jesus, with the woman at the well, he ended up telling her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We often base our worship on how we're feeling, what song's playing, who's singing, who shouldn't be singing, who would be singing if they was up there, what song. We base it on all these other things. In all reality, if the resurrection happened, and we believe it did, we ought to be worshiping him every time the doors is unlocked. We ought to be the most worshiping church in this community, in my opinion. Because we preach the whole gospel. Amen. And we share the word of God is the best I know how to do that. We ought to be excited. How long has it been since you've been excited? Huh? How long has it been since you've really gotten excited about being a Christian? I'm a Christian, hallelujah to the Lamb, and I'm on my way to heaven. Whoopity-doo, whoopity-doo. Now, I don't mean that disrespectful.
but there's more to it. We ought to be excited. We ought to be like I heard, and I'm done when I tell this story. We ought to be like Ray H. Hughes. I used to talk to Tony about this a lot. Ray H. Hughes, he was the state overseer in North Georgia. Some of you don't even know who Ray H. Hughes is. He was Mr. Pentecost in the Church of God from way back in the 60s all the way up into the 80s and probably part of the 90s, a little bit before he died. But he was the overseer in North Georgia. And he said that God spoke to him. He said, I want you to go to as many district overseers, and I want you to rub the fire off on them. Go to every one of them. And he said, Brother Russell, he said he went to house after house and rubbed the fire off on them. He said, because that's what God told him to do. All right. Elijah, Elisha, Paul, Timothy, David, and you know. And he said all those places he went to rub the fire off. I don't know theologically where that all fits in. I don't know symbolically where it all fits in. But I know that the Bible says you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire of God. Fire of God. I told Ray Hughes that story. He was in his little scooter at the General Assembly. And I went and told Ray Hughes, I said, I heard you tell that story. I said, Brother Hughes, I said, I want you just to rub a little fire off on me, if that's okay. He was at the stage at the General Assembly. Now, he didn't rub against me and he didn't say anything much to me on that occasion. He was probably pretty preoccupied, and here this little whippersnapper comes down there telling him a crazy little story, you know. And it didn't matter whether or not Ray Hughes ever laid his hands on me or whether I ever had any fire rubbed off on me by Ray Hughes, which I think I did, to be honest with you, because I received the Holy Ghost the night he was preaching at Whittier, and I told him that whole story. Folks, the only thing I can say is the resurrection is our promise to even be here tonight doing what we're doing. We got to get out of just coming to church, going home, coming to church, going home, coming to church, going home, keeping the lights burning, hoping it'll all be okay. We ought to come to church exuberant and excited about serving a risen Savior. You can go through Mark 16 and read every bit of that story. At the end of it, and I told Kathy upstairs, I said, I'm going to be pretty much just in the book of Mark. But look at this latter part of the book of Mark. I did not study this because I knew I wouldn't have time to get to it. But afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. And they talked and they questioned and they upbraideth them with their unbelief and the hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after the resurrection. Even still in that day, there was those hard-hearted people that did not believe in the resurrection. It says it right there in verse number 14 of Mark 16. And he said unto them, go into all the world, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in me and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be what? It's what it says, King James, damned, accursed. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Look at verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. What's he doing there? He's making intercession. Last verse, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. It all worked together. God confirmed once they went and done what they need to do. And I just pray that God would refresh us, and that God would give us a new vision for His glory and whatever God wants to do in this church. But it all is going to be hinged on the simple fact that Jesus rose from the grave. You believe it tonight? Let's stand together. Father, we thank You for the Word of God that will not return void. But God, it'll return to accomplish the thing wherein it is sent. I pray, Father God, that You would touch every person in this room. Help us, Heavenly Father, not to ignore the resurrection, but God, to see the resurrection as our hope, not only currently, but futuristically as well. And Father, if there be no resurrection from the dead, we read that in 1 Corinthians, I believe, the other day, that, Lord, we have absolutely no hope if there be no resurrection. Lord, we have no hope. But because Jesus lives, You shall live also. So, Father, I pray, God, for the services over the next few days, that, God, that You would anoint Brother Tatum, God, as he comes. Anoint Brother West. Touch Brother Steve Jones, Father God, on Wednesday night. Or Sunday night, rather, next Sunday week. That, God, that You just touch these men and touch this church. God, give us a spiritual encounter with You, O God, that cannot be denied. But to know, God, that greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. I pray, Father God, that You administer. I pray, God, that You touch every heart. I pray, God, You touch every life. And we ask You this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.